Blog Talk Radio.
I never believed that. I thought you were a myth.
Well, I'm not. But I will tell you something that is. The belief that human beings are kind.
No, Caesar. There are some.
Oh, a handful perhaps, but not most of them. Oh, they won't learn to be kind until we force them to. We can't do that until we are free.
How do you propose to gain this freedom?
By the only means left to us. Revolution.
But it's doomed to failure.
Perhaps. This time.
And the next.
Maybe.
But you'll keep trying.
You, above everyone else, should understand. We cannot be free until we have power. How else can we achieve it?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. This is your host, D-Bert, a.k.a. the Afro Nerd, and welcome to the Midweek in Review, pre-Turkey Day edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Actually, I should be more specific. Captain Kirk is unavailable. He had a prior engagement. He will be returning for Saturday's Grindhouse edition of Afro Nerd. So we give him our best wishes, and I will try to do my best without him. But again, Captain Kirk will be returning for this Saturday's show. Folks, I'm all by myself. So you're just going to have to deal with that. The call-in number, as always, as ever, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. We have a lot to get through, a couple of new additional stories that just came to my attention, so we're probably going to be all over the place with a lot of discourse. So anyway, without further ado, let's go to a groove. You know, besides the discourse, besides the intellectual and sometimes comical discussions, we do try to play alternative music, black rock, afro-punk, psychedelic soul, urban alternative, you name it, we got it. Let's go with the mighty Fishbone. Fishbone, Ma and Pa. Right back. Let's groove.
That wanted her. There once was a part that
right, we're back. What a game, folks. That is Fishbone, legendary ska punk band, Fishbone, Ma and Pa, from the Truth and Soul CD. Folks, I'm for Delf, D-E-L-F, as the slang goes. I'm by myself. The captain is out on assignment. He will be returning, as I said earlier, he will be returning for Saturday's Grindhouse, where we have the double feature show featuring myself, the captain, and Daryl B. The call-in number, still the same, as ever, as always, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Quite a few things to get to, so let's just get into it. First up, I have to give a hat tip to friend of the show, native Chicagoan Sergio Mims. Definitely check out his excellent website. Emphasis on the word excellent, Shadow and Act, courtesy of IndieWire. Simply Google Shadow and Act or simply go to IndieWire.com. You'll definitely find his site for the budding cineast, budding cinephile, specifically black cinema and cinema all over the world made by folks of color. Anyway, Sergio, from last week's show, put out there this growing story involving Melissa Harris Perry and a urban farmer slash community activist out of the Bronx, Tanya Fields. There was a, I guess, an exposition somewhat, or a, I guess, more or less a gathering of the greats of intellectuals with bell hooks, noted author and educator bell hooks, as well as Dr. Melissa Harris Perry. You know her from her stint, her own personal show on MSNBC, self-titled Melissa Harris Perry Show. Anyway, it was a show about black female empowerment, black feminism, and Ms. Fields makes an appearance, and it was a rather controversial one. Now, when Sergio gave us his, you know, this story, and again, he used to be acknowledged for letting me know about this, we really go in on a lot of different stories, but every once in a while, a story will slip through our fingers. So that's why it's helpful to have stalwart listeners, loyal listeners that will shore you up when you're missing something. So anyway, he told a little bit about this budding controversy. And essentially what was controversial about it was Ms. Fields was posing a question about how does she move beyond her personal circumstances, because she is a self-described single poor mother, or a mother of meager means. But when she went into her personal story, she didn't mention her age, but with research, I believe she's around 32, 33, so she's still a young woman. But when she went into asking her question of a personal nature, she happened to talk about the fact that she has four children, three different fathers, and at present, during this new school extravaganza, she was pregnant with her fifth child by another male that she described left her. And mind you, she's has these children. She is impoverished, food stamps of meager means, on the public dole, but also she's seeking empowerment through this urban farming initiative and being some kind of community activist. So I'm going to go even deeper into this story, but I want to play the infamous clip for our audience for further clarification, for further edification. This is Ms. Tanya Fields, Dr. Bell Hooks, Dr. Melissa Harris Perry. Let's get into it, and I will unpack and wax and do my thing. Hold on.
Your question, my sweet, your name?
My name's Tanya Fields. I was actually on Melissa's show last month. I'm a low-income mom living in the...
Yes, I saw you.
And my daughter's first board book was Happy to be Nappy.
All right.
and the words that you guys are saying right now are so sustaining. As a low-income black mother, I have been struggling to find my voice. And so I've been using my platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and talking about this being a whole person, what it means to be unmarried with three baby daddies and four kids. The pushback that I am often feeling is not from the white folks in the community. It is from the other sisters who tear me down, tell me that the reason that I am low income is because I didn't have the insight to choose good men, that I should have kept my hand out and my mouth closed and my legs closed and kept my hand out. And so I'm trying to figure out, as we talk about this plantation culture, as I try to rise above my circumstances and literally create meals that the babies in my community can eat, how do we... It stops you from wanting to have that voice. I have people who tell me, when you talk about being low income, don't talk about feeding your kids on food stamps. You don't need an audience for that. Suffer in shame and in silence. The situation that you are feeling is your own and is a product of your own bad choice. I am pregnant with my fifth child and just had this man walk out on me. How do you wake up every morning and... I consider myself a black feminist, but some days it's just so hard to get out of the bed and face other black people.
Take it, Mom. I said take it. I actually said take it, Mom.
That is exactly what the whole thing is designed to do. The language you used, sit alone in your shame and suffer alone. You know, I could turn into my academic self, which says the reason that people who are most vulnerable to being in your exact same circumstance are the ones who most want to shame you is because it's the same reason that it's the sorority girls on campus who say that you got to keep yourself from getting raped by not drinking. And it's the same reason that the churches that are growing among black folks are the prosperity, health and wealth ones instead of liberation theology churches, right? And it's because it is much easier to believe that we can solve inequality by pulling up our pants or keeping our legs closed or, right? So it allows you to wipe away all of the structural realities that require collective action and that require work that goes over and past your own life. So if it's just your individual decision-making, then I'm safe from it. So as long as I make a different decision, I will never be vulnerable to poverty or to heartache or to pain. And I will just say, you know, that your point about making all the right choices, right? So I can remember the point at which I became a single parent, and I was like, okay, but whoa, wait a minute. I did everything right, and I got my degree first, and then I got married, I got my degree first, then I got married, then I bought a house, then I got pregnant. I'm supposed to be all good. And then my mother was like, peace out. And went and just was, and there I stood with a baby. Now I stood there with a baby and a degree and as a homeowner. So the shame, I didn't have to, right? So because it's not really about being a single parent, it's about being poor. The thing you're supposed to be ashamed of is being poor. And so So I will just say that shaming, it is a defense mechanism to keep people from having to do the hard work of organizing, and it is the most dangerous thing in marginalized communities. It is the most dangerous thing because then we do not organize because we can just say that if only you had made different choices, then everything would be fine.
Okay, folks, once again... That was Dr. Melissa Harris Perry giving advice to community activist, urban farmer, Tanya Fields from the Bronx. Closure. Well, folks know, for those who are frequent listeners to this program, and plus the title pretty much speaks for itself, this Afro Nerd, and then at the site we have our own mantra and we go into the fact that we're anti-minstrel, anti-stereotypes, that we have more of a conservative bent. And as of late, I have had my problems with conservatism. Well, I shouldn't say conservatism. I should say more about how the Republican Party, how they approach black folk, and conversely how black folk approach the Republican Party. And there's another story, if we have enough time, with author, educator Dinesh D'Souza, who likened the president to Trayvon Martin. You tweeted out that Trayvon in the White House, essentially. We have Trayvon in the White House. And then he quickly deleted his tweet. So this is from a brown man of Indian extraction, Christian brown man from India, well-educated, conservative, who, instead of sticking to policy, he goes against the president by calling him, by trying to belittle him. So you call someone a name and then you run away. What does this have to do with Tanya Fields? Well, I'm disclosing to my audience that I have difficulty with how the Republican Party conducts itself in regards to people of color. But I do believe in the concept of conservatism. Read Shelby Steele's Content of Our Character. Content of Our Character. Read that book. It's about a 20-year-old book. Read that book because it really, first of all, it led me to the road to have a more conservative bent. And Dr. Steele goes into a heavy, heavy analysis, heavy definition for victimization as it plays itself out in the black community. So once I read that book and other books also that followed, but that book specifically, you can go to the archives and listen to a show that I did with Dr. John McWhorter. And we both agreed. Now, McWhorter has a conservative bent, but I think he describes himself as a liberal, but he certainly has a conservative bent. He is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and that's a conservative outfit. However, he again describes himself as being liberal. Anyway, we both agree that that book led us to being more in line with having a conservative bent. And when you listen to that conversation and the diatribe that Dr. Perry laid down, it's very painful to listen to that. It's very painful because it is rife with victimization. It's rife with self-defeatism. It's rife with learned helplessness. I've mentioned these terms before. Google, Wiki, research the term learned helplessness. It's most connected to animal behavioralists, but it also has implications for human behavior. Same thing. Learned helplessness means that even when an animal, let's get more specific. Animal behavioralists will set up experiments involving animals where the animal, in trying to determine an animal's comportment or an animal's motives or an animal's decision-making process, they will create games and traps and scenarios the scenarios have different outcomes. The scenarios play themselves out differently. You have some animals that when they're put into a situation, again, by these behavioralists, when they're put into a situation that seems untenable, that seems that the animal, the dog, or whatever the animal is, that the dog cannot free of the scenario, the animal will just give up. Some animals will just give up, even to the point where they might, where something, some catalyst comes into play that could change the circumstances. But because they've been beaten down so much, they will not make a move, even though the next move might be something that will make the animal free or more comfortable. But if you're used to a certain set of circumstances, even when you see a trap door that will allow you to be free, you won't accept it. That is an aspect that I think affects and afflicts the African-American community and more and larger communities of color. Let's say specifically the African-American community, African-American community, mind you. Now, there were other dogs in this experiment or other pets in this experiment that would never give up. It's just a personality thing. There were dogs that it could be one time or 500 times, that dog will not give up. And that is an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Even though that situation seems helpless, that dog will not give up. So when you get into learned help and victimization, if we could stop the language that we're hearing, this woman would say that her colleagues, again, talking about Tanya Fields, she would talk about her fellow black women, so to speak, that would quote-unquote down her because of her circumstances. They're giving her, in my estimation, giving her notes of correction, points of correct behavior. But if you go to these folks that are apologists, that are enablers, they will interpret someone telling you, listen, sis, you might want to look out because the next cat you're dealing with or this brother or what have you, you might want to lay low for this. You might want to knock it off. You might want to take a few years of celibacy or something, or maybe you might want to use some birth control, or you might want to do something a little bit different to change your circumstances. Well, some folks will say you're hating. You're not. You can't tell me what to do. So now, what I'm confused about, ladies and gentlemen, is what kind of language would you prefer, or would this young lady prefer, in speaking with her? What would be the preferable language? Because the culture, let's say the culture of hip-hop, calls women, black women, or women, if irrespective of color, bitches, hoes, all kinds of reprehensible, just all kinds of reprehensible names. That's the culture. Over and over again, on repeat, that culture degrades you consistently. So you don't want to hear that, I don't think. You wouldn't want to hear that on repeat. So if you don't want to hear that, then the alternative would be correction. But you don't want to hear that either. You don't want to hear corrective measures, and you don't. Assuming you don't want to hear the B's and the H's and all those degrading language. I'm utterly confused. Again, folks, I want to thank Sergio Mims for giving, you know, the hat tip to him about this. But I'm intrigued by it because I'm confused. And what made this controversial? What made this controversial was because there was a pause in the clip that I played, ladies and gentlemen, a pause because, and this is visual. You can go to YouTube and simply put in Melissa Harris Perry, New School, bell hooks, Tanya Fields, and it'll come up. There's a point in the video where you see it in mid-sentence, it appears that Dr. Perry is a bit emotional, a bit flummoxed, and she takes a pause, and she proceeds to walk off stage and hug Miss Fields. So she hugs her, caresses her hair, tells her everything's okay, coddles a grown woman. And the bottom line is this woman has told you she's a hot mess, and you can't tell her she's a hot mess. When can you give correction? David Carroll, Mr. David Carroll, who has his own YouTube presence, a very popular growing YouTube presence, he said something about this issue that was very profound, and I would agree. He said that folks like Dr. Perry, Dr. Hooks, Dr. Dyson, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, Reverend Al Sharpton, Reverend Jackson, I can go on, that crew, one can conceive or theorize they really don't care about black people. And I'm channeling Mr. Carroll's words, that crew really, really doesn't care about black people. Because if you care about black people, you will tell someone they are out of order, child, because you love them, because you care about them. I sincerely love and care about all people, but especially black people. If I did not care, I would go into the victimization business. I would just call you and not ask that perhaps you can do better. If you can go, if you can see down the line that, okay, if you tweaked a couple of things, those women that were critiquing, because really it's really criticism, or it's critiquing someone. It's not putting you down. But these women that were in the cipher of Ms. Fields were telling her the truth, as it appears that they were, giving them their honest opinion on telling her you need to knock it off. Because she's having babies into poverty. Even wealthy people, we've mentioned a cornerback for the Jets, Antonio Cromartie. Heck, we interviewed one of his, quote, baby's mamas, quote, unquote, because I hate that term, who is an attorney. She's an attorney. You would think she would know better. This man has makes $3 or $4 million a year, but he had, six or seven children from different states, I mean different women in different states, and the Jets had to field him or front him $500,000 directly to child support. So even if you are a wealthy person who conducts themselves this recklessly, a wealthy person can have children and have sex and what have you, however you want to describe this, into poverty. If a wealthy person can't be told to knock it off because you can, quote-unquote, screw yourself into poverty, then what chance do you have with a person of modest means? You can't tell the wealthy that they're out of control, and you can't tell those who are from lesser means. So what can we do? That's the quagmire I find myself in, ladies and gentlemen. What can you do? There's got to be a point that you ask for corrective measures because you care. Because you care. All right, folks, listen. one of my legendary rants, huh? Call a number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Let's go to a quick groove, as always, trying to give you the best of urban alternative music. This is his royal badness, excuse me. It's always the royal badness, isn't it? this is a perfect jam. When will we be paid? Just don't have a lot of kids. When will we be paid? His cover of a Staple Singers classic, actually, by Prince. We'll be right back, folks. As always, let's groove.
When will we be paid for the work we've done? The work we've done. When
in every land. Keep this country free, y'all. Women, children, and men. But anytime we ask for pay or loan, back when everything seemed to turn out wrong. Country to the beat. Will we ever sing out loud? Land of liberty.
When will we be paid for what we've done? Well,
okay, folks, we're back. The pre-Turkey Day midweek review special, folks. That was His Royal Badness, channeling the equally legendary soul gospel group, the Staple Singers. When will we be paid? When will we be paid? The call-in number for your edification. The water is always warm. I won't bite much. 646-915-9620. 646-915-9620. One quick thing, and then we'll move along. I want to do a Blue Area segment. We haven't done one in a while, and I don't want to think that because I have to do this, that when you critique your own being tribal, that I'm putting it down. So we will give the acknowledgments when we see fit, and I think it's time for a Blue Area segment. But I do want to dovetail on something I forgot. You know, there was another segment or another part in that piece with Dr. Perry and Dr. about shame, and also Ms. Fields talked about shame, that people were shaming her about her behavior. Well, you know what? That's how it's supposed to go down. And in old school, the old school, and I don't really like using the term old school, but for the sake of this conversation, when we talk about how black folk conducted themselves in general, listen, we had out of wedlock births in the 60s, 50s, 40s, and 30s. That occurred. But there was such a thing as shame. The mainstream culture had their form of shame, and tangentially, black folk with segregation had that form of shame. There's just some things. I mean, listen, the black man was in the household. The statistics will show that. The stats show that there was a great deal of numerical commonality between blacks and whites when it came down to intact families before 1965, even after slavery, even with the separation of black folk during slavery, and that occurred. Postbellum, to, let's say, 1965, maybe even to the 70s, the black man, by and large, was still in the household. So I say this, that there was such a thing as shame. And even when you think about Muslim communities, communities that are not Western, they take the notion of shame to extremes. Let's be honest. They take the notion of shame to extremes. But many cultures, most cultures have a concept of shame. You should not want to bring shame to your wife or to your children or to your parents or to your community. But now things have gotten so warped that now you don't believe in shame. I wouldn't want to become incarcerated because it would bring shame to my parents, to my colleagues, to my listeners, to my friends. A whole community would look at me like I was a crazy person. There has to be something there, if not your family, some kind of barrier that calibrates behavior. Someone has to tell this woman she's out of order instead of hugging and coddling. So I find it fascinating that shame is something you can't do. You can't shame people. I think we should bring back shame. When we had shame, we didn't see this. We didn't see this as a cultural race to the bottom. That's it. Bring back shame. S-H-A-M-E, bring back shame. All right, off for the blue area. Folks, for those who are just listeners, new listeners to our broadcast, we have a few different segments. One is the anecdote, where not the antidote, which might be a good idea, but the anecdote, where we just give out information. It's not color-coded information, by the way. It's just information, anecdotal data. And then we have the blue area. Being that this show is called AfroNerds, we don't call the show AfroNerds just because for S and giggles. You know, I'm censoring myself. We don't go by that brand just because. The AfroNerd brand does mean something. So the blue area, the term blue area, is just simply a Marvel comics. And Marvel is all over the place now. For the last couple of years, if you haven't been hiding in some kind of shed or in some kind of cave, Marvel practically owns Hollywood. Thor, Avengers, Iron Man. So in Marvel Comics mythology, there's an area in fiction now, of course, in fiction, an area on the moon where there's breathable air. So for our own blue area, we take a breather. We get away from dysfunctional talk, and we just give out something that would make you proud. So I have another hat tip. Hat tip to blacksciencefictionsociety.com. Definitely check those folks out over there. Blacksciencefictionsociety.com. Forum section. They highlighted a 9-year-old boy from Nigeria who bears the distinction of being Nigeria's youngest Microsoft certified professional. Let me repeat that. 9-year-old Nigerian young man, obviously of high cognition. I don't think he has a rap deal. Yeah, I'm going there. He doesn't have a rap deal. He's not bouncing a basketball. He's a young man that phenotypically looks no different than his cousins in America. He bears the distinction of being the youngest Microsoft certified professional in Nigeria. The young man, his name, if I can pronounce it, I don't want to defecate on his name. Jomilaju Tunde Oladipo. Jomilaju Tunde Oladipo. Let me read this briefly from, again, blacksciencefictionsociety.com. I just think it's a cute story, and it makes me proud. And again, folks, the notion of being inferior, it doesn't bear any – not that it ever had any substance, but self-defeatism, victimization, lies will prevent you from excelling. You can do anything. We have a black man sitting in a White House with his family right now. That's not supposed to happen, in theory. If we can just provide an alternate message, which is what this show is about, providing an alternate message, that's not a failure. If you check out, I'm going to go back. If you go back to that New School crew of not telling it like it is and promoting failure, then you will not be 9 years old with a certificate of professionalism for Microsoft. So let me read this anyway. A 9-year-old pupil of Role Model School, Oregon Lagos, Jamila Ju, has emerged the youngest Nigerian Microsoft-certified professional. He came tops among 21 pupils who sat for the professional examination in Lagos. He is now a Microsoft Office specialist in OfficeWorld 2010. Again, 9 years old, Microsoft Office specialist in OfficeWorld 2010. Jamila Ju scored 769 out of 1,000 in the examination held in August. In his examination score report, the slim-built boy performed well in sharing and maintaining documents, formatting content, applying page layout, and reusable content, among other subjects. Let's see. And there are others that are young that also have professional designations also from different areas. Two from Pakistan, one from India, and this young man is from Nigeria. Now, they have a quote from him that broke my heart, ladies and gentlemen, because not to sound like Joe Biden, but he's articulate. He's articulate in English. Again, his cousin in the Americas may not speak as well as this young man. Let me go into what he says here, what he says as his quote. He says, My mom and dad were very supportive. They always tell me never to give up, and eventually it paid off. Moreover, they have bought the latest Dell laptop. Again, I am always fascinated about the computer, the way it works and the process, and the way it organizes data. That's what this 9-year-old said. Look how articulate this young man is, of color, in Nigeria, 9, who received this certification. What is going on? I see BA is there. I know that this is, again, an anecdote that the captain references quite a bit. He says that the ethnicity that bears the distinction of having the most degrees, the most educated, one would think might be Asian folk. And they are there. But specifically, Nigerians bear the distinction of having the most degrees. They are the most educated ethnicity in this country. Why that isn't better known, one can speculate. I find that fascinating. Anyway, never let it be said that Afrinor doesn't give you good news. I just wish that his cousins in the Americas, and I know we are succeeding here too, and that needs to be highlighted, and I will highlight that too, but we're hearing an awful lot of good things coming out of Nigeria when it comes to scholarship and success. So much success and pride to Jamila Ju Tunde Oladipo. All right. Something that I did not advertise, folks. We've got about 12 minutes remaining. So we'll see how this pans out. We will delve deeper, obviously, on Saturday. Again, folks, remember the gang's all here. Saturday, 6 p.m., we have our pulp-centric show, The Comic Shop at 6 p.m. under the Grindhouse umbrella, Grindhouse Saturday. So 6 p.m. with myself, Captain Kirk, Darryl B., that is The Comic Shop. And, of course, at 7 p.m. we're back here again with Afrinor Radio, Afrinor featuring Captain Kirk. So we'll get into some of the things that we were unable to cover during this broadcast. Anyway, This was not advertised, but I'm going to go back into the dysfunction pool again. If you didn't know this, and I know you did, you do know, Mr. West, Mr. Kanye West, you know he's a minstrel. You know this implicitly. He's a disturbed young man. I don't know if this is some kind of game or some kind of act or affect, but there's a term he uses called turning up, some colloquial streetism, turning up. And you can imagine what to turn up. He was on Sway in the Morning, Sway from MTV. He has a show on Sirius XM. I'm just going to play this piece. We'll see how long we can get through this. It's just a mumbled mess. But the histrionics, the emotionalism, we've got to cut the cord, folks. We have got to cut the cord. We've got to do some reverse engineering on the highlighting of minstrels. We can't follow those people. If you follow these people, you will literally follow yourself over a cliff. So let's listen to Kanye West and Sway trying to converse with him for fear of him, quote unquote, turning it up or turn it up. We know what that means. Hold on. Sway and Kanye West.
You know what they told the store, though, of my boy that run a store? They said, if y'all want that Red October, you got to take these 10 other shoes. Mm-hmm. So they told me they ain't sure. But then they told him, if you want that Red October, but legally, we got to both sign that contract, yeah. Mark Parker. I'm going to put Mark Parker all on that Summer Jam screen. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Mark Parker, yes, I will still accept an investment in Donda. I got some more ideas that don't involve shoes. But if you guys are investing in the arts, mm-hmm. y'all want to invest in this school in Brazil, y'all want to go to Africa, I'm standing up and I'm telling you, I am Warhol. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh. Walt Disney, Nike, Google. Now, who's going to be the Medici family and stand up and let me create more? Or do you want to marginalize me till I'm out of my moment?
Or why don't you empower yourself and don't need them and do it yourself?
How, Sway?
Take a few steps back to go.
You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway.
Kanye.
I've been doing this more than you.
Doing what you ain't more got, than me? Come on, chill out.
You
bro.
Ain't got the answers.
Kanye, relax.
You ain't got the answers.
Bro, I'm asking you
You
a
ain't
question.
Been doing the education.
Bro.
You ain't been doing the education.
Kanye. Calm down.
You don't have the answers, though.
Calm down.
Because you're trying to give me advice about something.
No,
You ain't got the answers. You ain't spent $13 million of your own money trying to empower
right.
yourself.
Yes, but I spent hundreds of thousands and putting out clothing lines at a smaller degree. All I'm asking you.
And it ain't Ralph, though. It ain't Ralph
but
level.
Let me ask you this. I'm asking
What's
you.
The name of your clothing line? We don't know.
Kanye.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I lost money. But that's not.
Exactly. And I could lose money on a higher level, too.
And that's
don't
what
think
I'm
just
you.
Because.
Wait, hold up.
Don't think because
Kanye,
I got the most of the least money.
Let me finish my question, dog.
Man, because, no, man.
Let me hear the question,
You don't have
man.
The answers.
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question. Why is it that you can't? You have money, you have investors.
I just told you, I lost the money because I did not have the knowledge
okay,
of how
so
to do it the right
money,
way.
So you don't have the money to do it. That's your answer. You ain't got to turn up, man. This ain't no fucking show, man.
Nah,
I'm talking to you as a homie.
Nah, it ain't no homie, man, because the thing is, the bottom line is,
man, all
everybody,
I'm saying, you ain't got to turn
you,
up like
wait,
you ain't got to, no,
you,
hold up. You
wait,
did
wait,
three,
ain't,
hold
no,
up.
Ain't no hold
hey, man,
up.
Listen, bro.
Ain't no hold up.
It ain't got to be no hold up. I'm asking you a question.
Ain't no hold up.
I'm asking you a question.
Ain't no hold up.
What do you mean it ain't no hold up, man? We here talking as civilized people. I'm trying to understand your world because when I go to your concert, I'm curious about what you're saying. I don't know. That's why I'm asking you the questions.
Well, I'm explaining to you
okay,
what it is.
Okay, but you ain't got to turn up on me man to man, dog. Fuck these mics. We could turn all this shit off. You ain't got to do this. It's cool. I love you, bro. But you ain't got to turn up. Ain't no, don't try to embarrass us.
I'm not trying to embarrass y'all. What I'm trying to say to y'all is... this industry of what I'm trying to get into, ain't nobody never broke down. Ain't nobody broke down. We all slaves. So I ain't trying to disrespect you on your show. We all slaves
of
something.
About my show, yay.
I ain't trying to disrespect you, period. Let
okay.
me talk if you're going to have me talk. We all slaves. And y'all ain't experienced nothing right here but a moment from a movie out of Glory. Back in the days, the slaves had enough money they could buy their own freedom. We all say we slaves to Nike. We slaves to Benz. We slaves to public perception. We slaves to not looking, you know, what somebody going to say after the interview. Why you let Kanye do that? You should have checked him.
I don't give a fuck.
I love you, man. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I love you,
okay,
man. I'm sorry, okay?
That's fine.
But look at this. This is exactly what would happen at the French Revolution. This is exactly what happened. I'm sure there's some arguments with Harry Tubman and other people talking about, let's go this way, let's go that way. But what I'm trying to say is I sat in Paris and met with these people. I invested my own money and lost money. I made T-shirts that made money. I made music that made money. But at the end of the day, Lucy and Grange still cut my music checks. As powerful as my voice is, Lucian still runs 50% of the music industry.
Okay.
Francois Pinault owns Balenciaga, Puma, Saint Laurent, Stella McCartney. Francois Arnault owns Louis Vuitton, Celine, Givenchy. Renzo Rosso owns Margiela, Diesel.
Maybe I might indulge and go into this again on Saturday. Maybe. I'm not so much in really caring about minstrel doggerel, ladies and gentlemen. But this young man is off the hinges. If I were to try to extrapolate something into what he was trying to say, I mean, he seems to be frustrated because he's not at a certain level in the fashion industry. I know a little bit about fashion. The Oracle and myself, we consider ourselves to be closed horses. And first of all, if I'm to understand what he's saying, that he's putting up money, he's asking people for help, he wants to go from zero to 1,000 in no time flat. Ralph Lauren, you know, when he talked about when Sway tried to make some kind of connection with him, saying, well, listen, I have made investments. Maybe not to your degree, I've made failures. Now, anyone who's done business, you have to go through a number of failures to be cognizant of your mistakes, make the right corrections, and then maybe on the second or third or fourth or tenth try, you might hit pay dirt. He downs Sway by saying, well, whatever you did, it's not, we don't know about it. It's not Ralph. Ralph Lauren wasn't always Ralph Lauren. John Barbados wasn't always John Barbados. All these major league designers, when they tell you their story, they start off on a very small level. They start off with apprenticeships. They had to work to a certain level, but it appears he just wants to be there. Poof, I want to be this fashion forward, this fashion industry. Me, Kanye West. He sounds like an idiot. I mean, again, folks, I referenced this series quite a bit. I know folks may have an issue with Dr. Skip Henry Louis Gates, but his recent special, all six episodes are available online. I would advise you all to check this special out. Minnie Rivers, PBS, Dr. Henry Louis Gates' PBS special, you see, 80 years ago, even under apartheid, we were creating an infrastructure. You had black baseball teams. You had black hospitals, black insurance companies. I mean, he's acting as if I can't even interpret what he's trying to say. I mean, there is a way to create a business. So I don't know what he's, I do know this, that your president became president because he was professional, he was educated, he was prepared, and he had a certain type of comportment. Kanye West does not have those things. So he refuses. I mean, he can't even sit down for a conversation on a radio show, his own industry. I don't know, folks. I don't know. All I would say is we are in deep trouble if we continue to follow folks that appear to be substantially disturbed. And I suspect he is quite disturbed. No way. It's incredible. Incredible stuff, folks. All right, listen, we got about a minute remaining. Boy, these things go fast. We will be back again Saturday. Enjoy your turkey. Try to have some discipline. Don't overdo it. Don't drink so much. Love your family. Keep your third eye open. And we will be back again Saturday, 6 p.m., same bat channel, same bat people. All right, folks, going into more urban alternative music. This is the Black Keys and the RZA, Wu-Tang's RZA. The Black Keys and the RZA, the baddest man alive. See you on Saturday. It's been a pleasure.
Beast, the baddest man alive.